Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and I'm in Fort Worth, Texas right now, where we're having a minister's meeting, Kenneth Copeland minister's meeting. I got to speak yesterday morning. It's just such an honor to get to speak to people called of God. And I tell you, there's something in the air here. It's the Holy Ghost. It's really marvelous, and we're going to be, it's the consensus of the speakers. It's what God's saying to them. We are contending for pressing toward the mark of the high calling of the move of God that has been so prophesied. It was my blessing yesterday morning to read some of the prophecies, some of the things I've heard out of the mouths of the proven prophets, Brother Hagin, Sister Wilkerson, others, about the great move of God and the signs that we're seeing of it right now. So we see God moving all around. Of course, we have a lot to pray for on this Israel prayer call. I got a call last week from my friend, Lynn Hammond. This was, I don't know what date it was, but it was the middle of last week. And she had had an experience with God, really a visitation, for about 3 hours. And when she was talking to me about it, she mentioned the eclipse, which she thought had already happened. She said, and I saw the eclipse, and it seemed, and to her it was like a marker that the past for us, the church, was completed and full and blotted out, like the sun blotted out the moon, like the earth blotted out the moon, and that we were beginning, and we would begin now to walk on a higher plane, another dimension. And she walked on that dimension in her visitation from God for about 3 hours. And she said, Billy, nothing on the earth mattered. It didn't bother me, nothing. And she saw a place. Now, I had not paid any attention to the eclipse. I did pay attention to the eclipses that occurred on the high holy days, and the ones that we've been through, and we talked about the blood moons where things happened. Well, I hadn't paid attention to this singular eclipse that's happening. I knew, you know, I just, I knew that it was going to happen. But after I talked to Lynn, and she said it was some kind of a marker, and I said to her, Lynn, it hasn't happened yet. It's not happened. It's going to happen Sunday night and into Monday morning. And she said, oh, no, it's happened, Billy. I saw it. I said, no, you didn't see it, Lynn. Well, to her, it was really real. Well, things in the spirit realm and things God said, we know that eclipses can be predicted way, 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 way ahead. But God set the pattern. So if he set it to mark something, well, it could mark. After I talked to Lynn, I got on the computer, and I found out, got online, and of course, it was called a supermoon because of its close proximity to Earth. It was called a blood moon because of its coloring and the things that happen. I think the Indians and the Native Americans called it a wolf moon because at such a moon, the wolves howled. But so I thought, well, this was before the eclipse. I'll go online, see if the rabbis are saying anything. Well, that could be like the preachers are saying anything. They say different things. But I found a kind of a theme that was going through what some of them were saying, and they were saying that it was a portent, it was a marker of the Gog-Magog War. Now, there are three Gog-Magog Wars that I see in the scriptures. The one in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that could happen at any time, and the one that will happen when Jesus returns, the Messiah returns, and he sees that the Antichrist has surrounded Jerusalem in a siege. This is according to Zechariah chapter 12 and 14, and according to the New Testament, the 19th chapter of Revelation. But there's another one that is called Gog-Magog in the book of Revelation that happens after the thousand-year reign. So, but the one they're talking about is the one that Ezekiel 38 and 39 talks about, when Russia, and people are trying to say, well, they're trying to get, you know, they try to rule out Russia because, after all, what's been happening is having to do with Islamic states. But I studied this a lot, and gone back to the Hebrews and their interpretation of it. And there is a consensus that it is Russia coming down from the north with allies. And one of the allies is Iran. Russia, and of course then, I'm watching for, it was really cold in Branson on that night. I didn't want to stand out there too long, so I kept my cell phone right handy, you know, right by my chair. And I would glance over at it, and I set some alarms. And as I'm looking at my cell phone and the time and what time to bundle up and go outside, runners are going across. You know, those little runners. I have apps that are attached to the Jerusalem Post and other things. And it is advising me that things are happening between Iran and Israel. In fact, that Israel has announced that they have shelled, that they have bombed, the Air Force has bombed near the Damascus airport. Well, the Bible says that Damascus, you know, is going to be a ruinous heap. So if you're sitting there watching this and you're seeing things going on with between Israel and Damascus, it makes your ears pop. And the rabbis are talking to Gog and Magog war. Now, they said, it was what they said. It doesn't mean it's going to happen right on that day. It just means that things are moving toward that. And it could be, you know, on the horizon. Well, they've been moving toward that. Really strange things are going on between Israel and Iran, with the battlefield being in Syria. So close to the Golan Heights. I'm going to read to you from what has happened is Israel did strike some targets in Iran, where Iran has been using the cover of the Syrian war to transport high-class weaponry, powerful weaponry, from Iran down to Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so Israel has been bombing these transports, bombing the places that they've kept them, and you know, in Syria, the deposits, the caches of them. So there's been this thing going on. Israel would strike back, but they would keep it. They would say they wouldn't claim any. They wouldn't claim that they did it. But now they've come out in the open, and because they're coming out in the open, people believe that things are escalating there. And I'll read you a little bit about it right now. But what happened is then an Iranian missile was fired over toward Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is partly in Israel, partly in Syria. And it was fired over to Mount Hermon, a skier. There's a picture of a skier looking up at this rocket coming at him. Well, Israel's Iron Dome defense system, and by the way, in Hebrew, it's Iron Kippah, the iron little cap that they wear to show that they're under protection of God and they're in submission to God, the yarmulke, some people call it. That's what it is in Hebrew, but in English, they call it the Iron Dome. It went up and took that out. And then Israel claimed immediate. Then Israel, of course, went back after Damascus and claimed immediately that they had done it. So I'm going to read you some things that I took off the internet. There have been shadow wars going on there. The commander of the Iranian forces said, "Our armed forces are prepared for a war which will bring the crushing destruction of Israel. We are ready for the day when we will see the end of Israel." This morning, I tried to find something that I'd seen yesterday and couldn't find it, but I saw that the Iranian ambassador to the the Syrian ambassador to the UN had said, "We are going to take back the Golan." So I'm going to read you now from an article, an op-ed, "Israel strikes in Syria reveal a new battlefield for post-Civil War era." Airstrikes against Iranian targets in Syria on Sunday and Monday revealed a new Syrian battlefield that is emerging as the Syrian Civil War ends and the U.S. prepares to withdraw. Now, this is just my thinking. I didn't get this from God. I didn't get this from the media. But our important people have gone to Iraq lately. They have gone to trips in the area. John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, and our president and his wife went to Iraq on a secret Christmas visit. I think that maybe he's talked to Netanyahu that things are going to escalate and that he is moving our troops out of harm's way if he brings them out. I'm not sure of that. That's just what I think. Back to the op-ed. Airstrikes against Iranian targets in Syria on Sunday and Monday revealed a new Syrian battlefield that is emerging as the Syrian civil war ends and the U.S. prepares to withdraw. For 8 years, since the Syrian rebellion began in 2011, Syria has been the center of great power politics and an attempt by various forces to control the region through proxies in the conflict. It also became a battlefield between different ideologies and quests for autonomy amid the chaos and rise of the Islamic State. Now that era is drawing to a close, and a new battlefield shift is taking place. The Syrian conflict went through several phases over the greater part of the last decade. What began as a conflict between revolutionaries seeking to overthrow the regime and reactionaries who sought to keep the Assad family in power, it degenerated into a series of different conflicts and contests for who would control the country. Great and regional powers such as the United States, Russia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey all sought a role in Syria. They did so often through backing local forces or proxies. Israel revealed in the fall of 2017 that it had carried out 100 airstrikes against weapons transfers in Syria. And later in 2018, they said this number had increased to 200. Israel warned Iran against remaining in Syria. And actually, Benjamin Netanyahu told them to get out quickly. This began a complex, shadowy, and violent dance. It's now they're now calling it violent, between Damascus, Syria, Moscow, Israel, Tehran, Iran, and Jerusalem, Israel. Tehran wanted to stay in Syria. Moscow, which enjoyed unprecedented and increasingly warm and personal relations with President Vladimir Putin in the area, has sought to balance its interests. Russia's working, they've worked on a ceasefire, they've told this and that, all kinds of things. But Russia has played a key role in the return now of Syrian army units. Russia gave Syria its S-300 air defense system and claimed it would train the Syrians to use it. But so far, they have not trained the Syrians. And in this recent round, they did not use that high-powered air defense system because they didn't know how to work it. As Israel's winter of discontent about Iran's entrenchment has unfolded in 2018 and headed into 2019, Jerusalem has become more open about the war being waged in Syria and that it is against Iran. This is a warning to Tehran that Jerusalem takes its actions seriously and that it is not just blustering about Iran needing to leave Syria quickly. I'm not going to go on about it, but one of the big key players in this is a man that some people say is running Iran right now. He's a military man, and he came, I'm going to read to you now from a Jerusalem Post item. He is a commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards. His name is Soleimani, and he came down on Friday, last Friday, 1 hour's drive away from Israel's border in the Golan. 1 hour away. Think of where you can get in your car and drive in 1 hour. This high-powered man came down to that border. Israel saw him there. Their intelligence is the best. And some are claiming that his visit there is what triggered Israel's rare daytime strikes on Iranian targets in the vicinity of Damascus Airport on Sunday, which led to Iranian forces launching a surface-to-surface missile towards northern Israel. With his being so close and with the threat in the UN that now they're going to take over the Golan, I saw in a kind of a little article that Benjamin Netanyahu had asked the United States. He said it's time now that the United States and other governments recognize that the Golan is Israel's. So things are escalating. I see it here in this meeting. I see the Holy Ghost escalating. I see the ministers buying in that we have to contend for this. Oh, my heart is thrilled. I'm not at all discouraged about what's happening because God said in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 that he's the one that's drawing them down and that it is for the purpose. If you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you'll see that many times he said this is his purpose. This is Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 16. It shall be in the end of days, King James says latter days, but it's actually the end of days, the end of that 6,000-day work week, each day being a 1,000 years that God gave to Adam. It shall be that you shall come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. Verse 16, it shall be in the end of days I will bring you against my land. He calls Israel his land. In order that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Hallelujah. Another verse. 23, thus will I magnify, when he supernaturally destroys these forces, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. I personally am of the opinion that this could happen at any time. I am of the opinion that it will happen before what we call the rapture of the church. Because you see, in Ezekiel 38, not 39, the tourists are still coming. They're going to put up a flag if they find evidence of someone having died, a bone. And you see things going on in a kind of a normal state. They're using their fuel. So I think it could happen at any time. Whatever does happen, we have to know that God's purposes are there. We have to know that he is the head and we are the body. So I don't know the answer to this, but I do know our God, and I do know that he told us to pray. And so that's what I'm asking you to do right now. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, we come to you this morning, well represented across this country, joined by Canadians. Oh, these are folks, Lord, that are citizens of heaven with different assignments here while we're in our ambassadorship. And we have some from Europe. And, oh, Father, all of us lift our voices. We lift our voices right now to you. In concert, Lord, we see here in the Word that these are your doings. We see here in the Word, Father, that you want us to have the latter rains and the former rains together. Oh, Father, we come up to you contending, Lord, pressing. You're the one who has said, pray for those in leadership. Father, pray. You said that, and we're doing it. We're obeying you, Lord. We're lifting up Benjamin Netanyahu. We're lifting up the leaders of Israel, those who are leaders in the military response, in the military initiative. Holy Father, guide them, guard them. Think through their minds, Lord. You've brought them home. You have written in your word that you are the Shomer. You are the guard of Israel. Oh, Most High God, Most High Guard, guard the people, we pray. May nothing be done out of timing. May Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Satan, we come up against you. You will not be able to push anything out of timing. Oh, Father, in the name above all names, we lift up the President of the United States of America, President Donald John Trump, Lord. Things he knows that we don't know. Things you know that he doesn't know. You're the all-knowing God. You're the one who knows everything. You know everything. Ilibrastote, give us utterance right now in line with your will upon the earth. Head of the church, our Lord Jesus Christ, give us utterance, we pray. Spirit of the living God, use us now. All of those who are connected here, all of those who are praying and we don't even know about them, join us in unity, Lord. Join us in the unity of utterance, we pray, right now. Che palastonde vrebashke, nevrodishko donye mikalai, istione mahalidan chede prosti dototope. Afraid. No. We're not afraid. We see the hand of the Lord. Oh, Father, may the hand of the Lord, the right hand of the whole Malapasco, direct, effect, erect. Sibro Tosca, the Manian, and Monteste, Istianora, Bacalacatisco. Oh, Halava. Halavra mia nonia me cala godoge de bara. Dice de bara così in di utoro goge tata. Afra Nicola Toschke. Ebro Tisco. Oh, folks, I sense his presence upon me. I know you do too where you are. He's using us. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, dearest Lord Jesus. Thank you, power of the Spirit of God. Que tuto goho shante. E je devara sito do nombre calacala digno no nombre. E vretos que dar ni cala da di ontote de calabrati sotte. Che proti sanya no covri bisceno no nombre. Istoro mala toro ma cala nonia ni cola fretisco donge de bara. En si bratos que de vrando do go vretasco donia ni mi cala covri tisco. E je devara tisco tonge de vratasco toschevre. The military people around the world who are watching this, Lord, here from the United States, I know, is under the Pentagon. We lift them up. We left the Brosti de Makara Makashka da Donje, State de Makalama, State Department, Ibala Donje, Defense Force, Kampalito Lomashka Donje, CIA, Shipando Lokosi, all the intelligence that's watching it. Oh, bless Israel's intelligence, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that nothing is hidden from you. It is written, nothing is hidden from you. Father, may nothing be hidden from them except what you want hidden. The young men, oh, Father, they're so young. Not one man, Lord, not one man. Not one woman, not one soldier. Ishe mara voliti torgovre tashka. Ele bratolo tove me calacala digno no stiando. En bo franicolo coprete di cahalagne ne colla brastiente. Ishe dobrete li frato. Camalatigno no copapi. Ishe le brato ishe tagno no copapa latito. Calabratito. En befre. E se ne male tiene uno compra cala cadagna na cosceta da corretta. Il librato da cosceta da cosceta. Seri. De coscia na mai e niente. Il librato papa alonge. And finally, Lord. Finally.
Librato do dobre calapalito lo moretisco e giandolitasco dori macaia nora macchina nora malito e balatusca d'ampla bacaia no colla haia ne calla du e genemia e genemia e genemia ne calla la colla fratigno colla fratigno colla fratigno se le balà il limosciato il limosciato il limosciato il limonia che le barata che le barata che le barata per Makai, Ishinemora, Makala, no! Cristiano non copre il pesce. Cavadesce, Anita. Cavadi cuore, Makala Cadigna. Estiano, Estiano. And born again. Born again. Born from above. Born from above, il rubrosiro lo maratile donne ne calabarassito, e c'è una maradigna non compre che le cadavre brocagnude di frastino, e c'è di bourgeois, c'è non me bourgeois, bourgeoisetto do bourbois, e vronogne e me calodos crianta. There's a name above every name, and we invoke it. We invoke the name that he inherited from his father. The name above all names. E librato e sciato. Che librete le cavrato scettagna na combre tisca. Oh, ascete le galatata. In the meeting here, Father. In the meeting here in Fort Worth. Help us not to depart from the spirit of yearning for your moving. The speakers today, Lord, help them give what you would have given, that we won't deter from this. We won't move away from it. We'll stay in on it. Oh, Lord, a move. That has been prophesied of the glory of the Lord, Father. E la pratoche ne kahajete varabasute, aladanya ne kohobrate de gatashka. Father, in the name above every name, we want to thank you for moving that our building permit now is on its final leg. Oh Lord. We're not willing to have it take the time it usually takes and the time they think it's going to take. In the name of Jesus, we already have a foothold there, and that's why we're on this call, because we've got that land in the north. Oh, God, you've given it to us, and from there we stand. From there we command. From there we say, no. To the enemy. Oh, Father. I'm going to ask you, Lord, and I'm asking all of the ones on this call, I'm getting ready right now to contemplate, to pray, and to choose flights to go to the pastors for the John Hagee CUFI Pastors, Wives, and Women Ministers tour. I want on the right plane. With the right departure and the right landing. And I'm asking you to help me know what that is this morning as I make my final decision. Lord, bless the wedding today. There's a wedding between David Horton and Scarlett. This is a wonderful wedding. Their joy is flooding over on all of us are going to be married right here at the altar at 1:15, I believe it is, at this meeting. To me, their joy, both of them have had sorrow. David's wife, Cherie, passed away from cancer 2 years ago. His son was killed in Afghanistan. I think I'll tell you a story. This is the truth. David told it to me. He's going to write a book and he's going to put it in there. His son Chris went to military school all of his life, wanted to defend his country. And so he went to Afghanistan as a well-trained sniper. A few years back, I can't remember how many now, he was killed in Afghanistan. David, about 2 years ago, got a letter. And it had been some time since his son was killed. And the letter was from a Baptist man in the military. And he said, I do not know if this man was a medic or he was just on the crew that came in to help this. There was, I think, about six or eight in the group, the underground group in special ops group in Afghanistan that Chris Horton was part of. And when they were fired upon and Chris was killed, two of them were killed, and then they radioed for help. This man came in with others. And he said, we're trained to put the ones we know that are dead already to the side and to move and to help the ones who remain, the ones who are here alive and that we can help. And he said, I was helping them, and I looked over to where the two who had fallen, and a hovercraft came. He said it was completely white. It had absolutely no markings. He said, I know that the United States has everything marked. And so I looked up right away, and I thought, what is that? Who is it from? It's not marked. And then there came an open door out of the hovercraft. And the hovercraft, a light came out that door. And it said it appeared as if these two men rose up and went up that light into the hovercraft, and then the hovercraft moved away at a very fast speed. But their bodies were still on the ground. The man writing the letter to David said, I have never seen a vision. I have thought about this ever since I'm a Baptist and decided maybe I should write and tell you. Activity of angels. And a man's eyes opened so that he could see them there everywhere. Praise God. Thank you for the activity of angels. Thank you for angels on the scene today. Thank you for the angels of God that are sent everywhere, that are sent to Israel, that are over Israel. Michael himself being the archangel over Israel, Father. We just praise you and thank you. And for the ones that are here today, Lord, attending these ministers, we thank you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Shalom and shalom. I'll see you all later.